As well together, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. As regards giving in the local church, this evening, our eyes are further enlightened on our responsibility and our service to God in the local church. Much more, as we have thought, we walk in the light of it. We receive correction. We receive rebuke in this meeting tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So, well, we're looking at the teaching on, this is the 8th section though, on giving in the local church. This is section, like I said, I will do all within my best to tonight. Hallelujah. One of tonight, we're going to look at some other things in the coming week into CMC. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you don't miss it. All through the month of April, all through the month, I've lost count of when is Easter. That should be what? 6th, right? I'm sure. So, all through April, we will be fasting, we'll be praying, and we'll be having daily publicity for CRC. Hallelujah. Amen. So every day, all through the month. Yeah. So CRC is April 22nd, 25th. Hallelujah. So we're having every day, all through the month. But before then, we have a pocket of times within the month of, come on, Paul, please. Within the month of March. Within the month of March. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, all power, authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." So we said, in the build up in this teaching, we said, when you use the word, "I am with you always," we said that is, we looked at that "I am" fact of scripture, where Jesus also lays claim. Not just use the word "lays claim." Jesus stated it emphatically that he is the God of the scriptures. So when he says "I am," there is that fact of him being the God of the scriptures, the God of Israel, the God of the whole world. When he says "I am with you always," "I am with you always" is also a fact of salvation. We're looking at all that, right? Hallelujah. Looking at all that. And we also said, the local church is not a place where people come to do praise and worship. Hallelujah. The local church is first a teaching, is first a teaching class. We call it an interpreter class, where we are taught how to interpret scriptures, right? And we said in Bible interpretation, we seek to find what is in the mind of the writer when they wrote. And knowing what was in the mind of the writer, we said a couple of things are going to be very vital. And the word will not mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote. We looked at that. We said, so that means if I'm to read words today, I must not read it in my world. I must read it in their world. So the world where they word is being read outside what was in the writer's mind, or the writer's word, you are missing the writer's intention. Because the writer is going to write
in his word. The writer is not going to write in your word thousands of years after. He doesn't know anything in your word. Hallelujah.
It's just like how as intelligent as Paul is, he doesn't say, Paul, do you have data on your phone? He'll tell you what is data. He doesn't even know what a phone is.
Did you see that? So therefore, you can't find phone in the Bible because he doesn't know where phone is there. Now say, oh, Paul sent a tweet. Paul can't send a tweet because there was no Twitter then. Hope you're following. Amen? Hope you're following that.
So words must be used first in their word. Glory to God. You have to use words in their word first. See how it is in their word. So that you don't miss what the writer's intention is. Amen. Amen. You don't miss what the writer's intention is actually. Glory to God. Amen. So that means
if I'm to look at scripture, like I said to Russell Sam, I said the use of evil
will not be evil. Evil in their world will not be evil in our world today. Amen. Good in their world
or good will be, if I'm to read something as good, I have to read it in their world. Blessed, I'm about to read it in their world. Hallelujah.
So what does God call good in Genesis? What he does is good. Amen. Amen. So I have to read it in their world. I have to read things in their world first. Then we now said the second one is you must allow scripture to interpret itself. That is to say you must learn to read in context. You don't use dictionary, you use context. Context gives meaning to words.
Hallelujah. Context will make you know whether it is a figure of speech or what the meaning is. Dictionary doesn't define the word. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. So we also said Moses will use the culture of that day to point out God's plan.
He's talking to them about God's plan. He will introduce the culture of that day,
which God will accept. Did you see that? God will accept. God will accommodate it. God accommodated the use of oil in Genesis chapter number 31.
Hallelujah. You saw it. God accommodated oil.
In Genesis 28, Jacob anointed the place and called it Bethel.
God in chapter 31 said Bethel which you Bethel which you anointed. So that means God recognized, God accommodated Moses.
I mean Jacob. And that was the culture of their world. So the use of anointing oil was used to show that something is sacred in their world, not to make the thing sacred. Listen that?
Anointing oil was used to show that something is already sacred. Not to make the thing sacred. Say, oh, there's oil on my head, so the oil makes me sacred. No. Hallelujah. You are already sacred.
So the oil is just a pointer, a shadow, to show that this thing is sacred. It is something in their world, a culture in their world. We also have the use of Sabbath,
the last day. Isn't that the last day? Worship.
Last day, set aside to worship the Lord. Now Moses will pick that from their word. They have the Sabbath day. Amen. Okay, following me. A day set aside to worship. Where did he get it from in their word?
It was not something in their word from Adam, but it was something in their word from Egypt. So Egypt was where they have the Sabbath day worship from. So Moses will now write to them for them to see the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, will be found in Adam. Yet, while it was in Genesis 1, yet none of the patriarchs had a specific day. Amen. But he writes that for you to see that that is God's day. God's day. God ended his work. He used the word there, finished.
The word finished is to show an encapsulation. Hallelujah. So that means, listen.
It then means that the seventh day is God's day. It's not a particular day of the week or a particular number of days in the month or in the year, but actually it is the everyday life of the believer. It's God's day. You see that? So Jesus picks it up. When Jesus says, see my, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You see that? That will be the seventh day. That will be the last day. That will be his day, his resurrection. Hope you're following that.
So that was his day. And that says, in that day you will know I am in the Father, you in me and I in Zoe. Is it a specific day or the believer or the reign of the Messiah?
That is the reign of the Messiah. That is what is called eternal life.
Eternal life, come on.
Eternal life is not a, let me put it the way I used to put it.
It's not a life you're going to live in heaven.
Actually, it's a life you're already living in heaven.
Hallelujah!
Is that like the life of Solomon? The life above sickness, death.
This is an economic measure. That God's life is real. The measure of sitting government is. I remember that a bit. Hallelujah!
Amen. Eternal life is the life of God. It's actually the reign of the Messiah. That was why, when you read John 5:39, I'm not going to do this. If I'm just doing it, read John 5:39. Look at what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Automatically, the Pharisees knew what eternal life is.
Yeah? They knew. And they said, "Then you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me." So that means he says to the Pharisee that the reign of the Messiah you are looking for is already speaking about my day.
That's what he's talking about.
Hallelujah. So the reign of the Messiah that you are looking for is already happening.
That is my day. You have it in the resurrection. That is eternal life, the reign of the Messiah.
Okay, follow me.
Amen. Eternal life. So the new eternal life is not a gene.
The new is not a blood stem.
The new is a ring. So that means I have to understand eternal life in their world is a ring. So the reign of the king is called the life of the king. You see that? The life of the king. So because it's the Messiah, it is called the eternal life of the Messiah. The reign of the Messiah. It will be eternal.
Okay, following.
So that when you put that side by side with what the prophet said, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his day. That is he, the prolonging of his day is eternal life.
Okay, follow me.
Amen.
Amen. So that means he will reign in his seed. That's what it means. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So that means I have to read words, not in my word, but in their world. So we said,
Titus was a culture in their world, and Moses borrowed Titus, just the same way you borrow sacrifices to teach about giving. So you don't stick to the shadows, you stick to what it points to. You don't stick to a specific day called Sabbath day, but you stick to what it points to. What does it point to? The reign of the Messiah. And this will say, because we are in his day, we are in his way, we will worship him in all the time.
Hallelujah! That is what it's for. He says, you shall keep it holy. You're going to get to see that not in this teaching, but after the end of the year.
Hallelujah. You shall keep his day holy. You remember I told you that what you have as 10 commandments is actually Moses' teaching. It's not 10 commandments is law. No! Moses' law is the word in the Greek nomos. It is used for doctrine. So he says Moses' 10 commandments is Moses' doctrine. Doctrine. Is that what we have in the epistles? Yes!
Glory to God. Amen! Amen! Very fundamental. Very well. So to understand Moses is to understand the Ten Commandments, his doctrine.
Remember, I promised us Moses, right?
Yeah, that promise is running into years now. I know. I know more than you know. We are building up to there. Hallelujah. So we said giving.
Oh, okay, we said tithe points to giving. Right? And Moses is using tithe to teach about giving. In giving, you give to royalties.
I mean, in tithing, give to royalties. Hallelujah. So Moses used it to teach about giving. And he says, when you give to the priest, the Levite. Come on.
The Levite, who are the priests, whom every believer should be a priest. Is that it? And the Levite is the shadow of it. Come on. Come on. So does that mean, what does that show you? Is it giving to the local church? Hallelujah. Amen. That is local church? Yes. That they might be meat in my house, no lack. Hallelujah. So that means it's giving is to meet me. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me.
Glory to God.
And I will open the windows of heaven. I hope you don't have issues with opening the windows of heaven. Opening the windows of heaven in Malachi 3. Say, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. And the floodgate they have in their mind is, I'm paying my tithes. So when it says, I'll open the windows of heaven, will it be words? Will it be words? Will it be blessings? Will it be commendation? Will it be thanksgiving to God? Is that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 emphatically? Yes. Okay, what will it be? Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're seeing it from that light. So that will be, and will you rob me? Oh, can a man rob God? Look at Malachi. I guess I'm skipping verses 8 and 10 together. Malachi 3. He said, okay, verse 9. He said, okay, verse 8 and 9. He said, will a man rob God? Yes, you rob me. But nay, when have you robbed me? In tithe and offering. That says, ye are cursed with a curse. When he said, ye are cursed with a curse, is he God saying, it will not be well with you? No. What is cursed then? Is it the Levite? Is it the Levite? Is it the Levite? So what is the cause there? They said it's nothing. Was that what we saw? So the cause there is to speak nothing. Just to be quiet. That is a curse. What happened to him? That is the world. Amen. Is it a curse? Now, let's say, bring here, if I will not open the windows of heaven. When it says, if I will not open the windows of heaven, will that be the heart of man? Will that be thanksgiving unto the Lord? So what is the if I? The I that will live is God or the Levite? The Levite. Because that action is towards God. We're going to deal with that when we get to revelation of God. Hallelujah. People should start this Saturday.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Go to God.
I promised us this year we're going to have a lot of teaching meetings. We've not had any. But I'm still warming the seats. We're going to have a long, long hour teaching meeting. Anyway. Go to God. Go to God. Okay. So, we'll see that will be men. So the Levite, now the Levite will have to thanksgiving to God by believers. Will that be thanksgiving to God by believers? Acts of Apostles chapter 2. We were here last week. So, I really need to go fast. Acts of Apostles 2. Are you there? Look at verses 43. It says, and fear came upon every soul. And wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Did you see that? Look at verse 47. What happened in verse 46 to 47? And they continually in one accord in temple, breaking from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. That is the result. Praising God. Amen. Praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go further again. Chapter 4. Sorry, before we get to chapter 4, let's quickly to 2 Corinthians. Are you 2 Corinthians? Okay. Woo, bro. Look at chapter 9. Are we from verses 1? Oh, okay. Let's look at verse 1. So it says, for as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the fullness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia,
that Achaia, at Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked many. Yet I have the brethren. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in their behalf. That, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest, happily, if they of Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, for, find you unprepared, we that we say not ye should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. Watch that word, covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Listen, he said, he that soweth sparingly. Now, when you do what sparingly is there, it implies, listen to me. I never remember saying, you're so small, you're going to get small harvest. You're so big, you're going to get big money. So, when it's 1,000, you get 1,000. No, that's not what he's talking about. When you do what to sow sparingly there, sparingly means not to give at all. Not to give at all. You know? Not to give at all. That is the Greek word there. Not to give at all. We've done this study before. Jesus says he will receive, he will reap sparingly. Means he will receive nothing. Amen. So he who gives nothing will get nothing. You know what he now says? He who soweth bountifully. The word bountifully there is the word used to sow what is worthy of commendation. That is the word for blessing, eulogia here. Hallelujah. He who gives what is worthy of commendation. He says he will receive what is worthy of commendation. So he wasn't talking about money there. He wasn't talking about, I'm going to give money. He wasn't talking about the reward system of money. No. He will give what is worthy of commendation. Did you see that? Amen. So don't matter if you give 1,000 and get 1,000. No. What is worthy of commendation? He will receive. You're going to find that in verses 11. That's why I had to start from verse 1. Look at what he says next. He says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. We're going to get there soon. Hallelujah. According as he purposed in his heart. Sorry. As he proposed in his heart. Let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that means your giving, listen, your giving is not supposed to be out of grudge. Remember we say it's service to the Lord. So you can't serve God with grudge. No. Not just serve God with you are being casual. No. Hallelujah. It's service to God. So it should be done with cheerfulness of heart. Amen. I don't want that. Everybody should bring your money. If you give small, you will give small. Give me. Everybody, bro. I don't know. If you want to give big like that, that's something that they've been cajoled to. You know their heart is not there. You know what I'm saying? No. God lost a cheerful giver. Now smile. You are forcing me to smile to give to God what I didn't want to give. You cajoled me. And still think that it's a smile. No. It's a matter of your heart. Hallelujah. It's in a need and you're about to meet it. So it says not grudging. Hallelujah. Amen. Not grudging. Hallelujah. But you must do it because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves the needs of his local church, needs of brethren to be met. I taught us last week and I said how God's system for meeting the needs of believers is true believers. Amen. God's system of meeting the needs of the local church is through the local church. It's through the members of the local church. That's God's structure. That means I must be open to God's spirit. I must be led. I must be open to God's leading. Because we can receive, you can be led to give in church. I was not led, no. When your pastor said we are giving, that is God's leading. How we know that? The problem is we are giving towards this. That is God's thing. So that means because I know how to flow with God's leading, I will flow that way. Amen. Amen.
We're going to get to see something now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We're going to get to see something.
So I must give freely. I must give not grudgingly. Look at verse 8. And God is able, listen, to make all grace abound towards you. Watch what he talks about here. All grace abound towards you. That ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What is that? Yet always what? Having all sufficiency in all things. All things there, is it everything or is specific?
Hallelujah.
Is it everything or is specific? Eh? Specific to what? You know what he said? That's what we'll be reading now. All grace abound towards you in all.
So what is the grace? You have to come out to look at the grace he's talking about. From chapter
number 8. Look at chapter 8. It says, from verse 1, say, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God, bestowed at the church of Macedonia, have in great affliction of the abundance of their soul, and in deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Talking about their giving.
Hallelujah. Amen. So all grace and all sufficiency is what?
Specific, right? And it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Say now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Did you see that? Amen. And multiply, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Look at what it means. Verses 11. It says, be enriched in everything unto all bountifulness. That is the same word, elogia. Do you see that? All bountifulness, word of commendation, which causes to us thanksgiving to what?
Thanksgiving to what?
That is it.
Hallelujah. That is the opening the windows of heaven. That is Paul writing what Malachi 3 says.
So in my Bible, I could put there Malachi 3 says. Hallelujah. That is Malachi 3 says. Hallelujah. That is the window of heaven. That is God's reward system. He will cause thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, for the administration of your service, not only supplied the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 15. There's a thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about it read verse 14? It says, and by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. You see that? Amen? Oh, thank God! Thank God for this. My needs are met. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's God. That is the reward. Hallelujah. God said, thanksgiving to God. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many more lives saved. Maybe, for example, you give in the local church for an upcoming meeting. Give in the local church to meet the needs. And many people to give the local church even to buy chairs. And people are around, people have chairs to say, oh, thank God. I thank God that my wish is God's word. That is what your seed is costing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving unto God. But you know what? Look at what we read last week. Chapter 8, where we just read verses 2, it says what? They gave first their life.
Come on! Gave their life, their commitment in the service. So it was a commitment.
And he now writes to them, the church has come and said that you may abound in this grace also. First, how have you abound in the grace? Your life then, your money. It's not your money first, it's your life first. Your commitment. That is why, as a local church, I will not. And I'm saying it publicly so that it will be noted.
We will not, in your brother before, anyone who is not, you are not committed equipment in the local church,
even if you have a billion naira, what I want to take from you is your commitment first, is your life first. Do we need money? Oh yes, we need money. Do we need money now? We need money now in church. But you know what? It's your commitment first. It's your life first. It's not your money. It's your life first.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very vital. Very vital. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So,
our giving causes thanksgiving to God. That is the window of heaven.
So we went further. And we said, a recap of what we've been looking at.
We said, we'll give to meet the needs of the local church, right? Right? Hallelujah. We give to meet the needs of the local church.
And it's very vital. I'm going to take it one by one again. Wouldn't it? Let's go back to Acts of Apostles. I gave us the background of Acts 2, right? There's a background in Acts 2. The Jewish Pentecost.
Jews from all over the world, all over the continent, will come to Israel for Pentecost. Now, many people came for Pentecost, 3,000 got saved. All of that 3,000 that got saved, some will not be from Israel. Very little from Israel, some will not be based in Israel. Some came for the Pentecost to go back, right? But now they are saved. They found salvation. What would they do? Would they go back? They continue steadfastly. At least they stay. Automatically there was already a change of location. Hallelujah! You have to stay. You have to be thankful. These guys will not have place to stay. They will not have food. They will not have clothing.
But what happened in chapter 2? People gave. Hallelujah! To see that the needs are met. Needs are met.
Needs are met. It's very vital. Needs are met. And it was done under the supervision of the pastor, chapter 4.
Under the supervision of the pastor, they laid it at the apostles' feet, verses 33. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at something I wanted to say. So they laid it, verse 35, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, that is, under the watch of the pastor. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
Everybody has need. But it was the pastor's responsibility to ensure that he gets to people as they have need.
Look at chapter 6. Stay in chapter 4. You get to chapter 6, 12, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples increased and multiplied, there arose murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrew because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. So that means they continued the way they share things, continued to chapter 6.
Hallelujah. The church grew to start feeding people on a daily basis, widows. That's how they met needs. Hallelujah. That's how they met needs. When we didn't need something. Hallelujah.
But will this continue? Yes, it continued. But yet, they had administrations.
There were widows who would not be given. If you look at Paul in Timothy, the church at Ephesus, that means they had similar things in Ephesus. Hallelujah. They have similar things in Ephesus.
But yet, Paul now gives a direction to the church at Ephesus under the administration of Timothy, talking about what? The women. The widows, rather. He says the widows, okay, 1 Timothy 5. So he gives administration to widows. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 4. I was just taking some few. He says, but if any widow have children or nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For it is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusted in God and continued in supplication and prayer night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now look at verse 7. And these things give in charge. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He's talking about the widow. He said, let not thy wisdom be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been a wife of one man. Let me not take it under the number.
So it means he now went back ahead to give, should I call it, rules. Hallelujah. Paul also tell the church, he also tell the churches,
he will say, a man, it says, a man who doesn't walk. Did you see that?
Because everybody will say, ah, there's always need and need and met in church. Everybody comes to church, right? But say, no, if you don't walk, you're not a partaker. You're ready to go?
So they are now
principles of foolish
and now laws governing those who will be worthy of their needs being met. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I closed where I was. Sorry, second. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me show you something now. So, get back to Acts 2. Get back to Acts 2 quickly. Okay. A second. I'm keeping something structured. Okay. Okay. No problem. So, look at that Acts 4. Are you there? So the lady that the apostle sees, verse 35. Look at verse 36. And Joseph, who was the apostle, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Did you see that? Amen. So Barnabas was called Barnabas, or called the son of consolation. Not that was a son of consolation because of what he did. Hallelujah. He was called a son of consolation because of what he did. He sold the land.
Imagine that. In Israel, one of your prized possessions is land.
A land is a prized possession to an Israelite. So he sold land and brought the money to the apostles, so that what needs will be met. Amen. Amen. So that means the church can utterly know those who give well. Hallelujah. It is, I'm not saying
now give the application service or best soul winner. Some people have one best soul winner for giving 2 hours and work for you. Best is so hard for giving just 2,000 and work for you. Best is so hard.
Now stand and take picture
of singlet. And so what I'm saying is that it's more than your 2,000.
Amen. I will never see your money back. Yeah, don't mind me. Just pulling your legs. I stayed far from the speaker for that. Amen. It was on purpose. Hallelujah.
But it's very vital.
Was called a son of consolation because of what he gave. Hallelujah. He gave to the local church. So that means it's important as a believer to meet needs in the local church. Very vital. Very vital. So
Barnabas became a son of consolation. He became super to them.
You know, a pastor can have that kind of two set of people where you trust that if there's a need, then you go to say, ah, can we meet this need? He said, yes, sir, we can. Not sir, actually, no. Don't be that kind of person. Hallelujah.
I remember one time like that, we had a brother. Wanted to have a meeting. I won't call his name for now, but some of you know him already. I've called his name several. He said, we're having a meeting. So I then taxed all the leaders. That was in 2008, whatever. I taxed every leader to pay, imagine, 1,000 naira. 1,000. Myself, I also paid 7,000. And I was like, so I gave more than all of them. So I ended up paying the whole money. So I ended up doing that. The only person that supported was Sunday. Was only Sunday that gave. I also taxed him. But not remember how I taxed him. So Sunday was to give 2K, but he gave like 1K. So everybody was just saying, so there was this brother. He kept promising that, sir, I'll give you. All I told me, sir, I don't have money. So I already planned with it, I don't have money. How far, brother? Sir? Yeah, it's gonna show. Faith word. I say, yeah, this girl, brother. So I started working close with him. I have planned this 1K for renting chair. Seriously. To rent a dozen of chair was like 200. So I was to rent 5 dozens with this 1K. So everything was sorted out in my head. I was putting it in my head. So I was just busy fixing other bees. So I stayed with him. I said, this guy has faith. He's one of the house money. I stayed with him. I said, how far? 2 days from meeting. How far? Say, sir, don't worry. By tomorrow, I'll give you. Meeting is next tomorrow. I'll give you, sir. On that day, a night of meeting. I don't want to meet him. I almost called his name. I said, bro, how far? He said, sir, now who? What happened with that? Okay, I met him in Tunde's place. So I didn't want to ask him in Tunde's place. Because Tunde's dad and mom were there. So he was leaving. I said, Tunde, I'm coming back. I followed him out. I said, how far? He's giving kiss tomorrow. He said, yes, I know, sir. He said, where's your money? I said, oh, yeah, the money. I have it. You know, put it out in his pocket. And if he had brought out something better, I would have been happier. Amen. You know, when you have a member that thinks he knows the word of faith more than you. That thinks he knows faith talk more than you. That's nonsense. You know? So he was going towards S1. So all of you when I say S1 should know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So he now brought out not Kobe. Kobe was still in the world. he was staying in Ar or thereabouts or El, I mean, one of those places where they threw away those beans from their backyard. Yeah. Amen. So where was that? So he now brought out 10 naira. I'm looking at the 10 naira. You know, at first I expected them to use the 10 naira to buy something else. Not brought out the 10 naira. I was not just looking at him. That those were the days when if I'm walking on the street and speaking in tongues, so I was just on tongues. I felt he was doing his own thing. Just when I was starting to post that. I said, sir, this is, I said, what? Senator, for what? You know, because every other thing has been planned. I said, for what? He said, sir, this is 1,000 naira. I said, are you normal? I asked him, are you okay? He said, no. Is this 1,000? Can't you see the 1,000? I said, see how? I said, how? If they just add 2 zeros, hey! I almost gave him a slap. I said, see how? I can't even see 2 zeros. He said, no, sir. This is just 10 naira. If you just add another zero, it's 1,000. I don't think there was a 1,000 note there, so I thought it didn't really matter to me whether he had. I just said he would just bring out like 500. So then I was like 500, just came out. I'm not mistaken. And 100 naira or 200. I just saw 10 naira. I felt embarrassed. He said, sir, take it. I said, no, take it. Can you give me 10 naira? Huh? He said, no, sir, don't you believe in the multiplication effect? I said, this will not multiply anything. Whenever I give the man a chair, I said, take it home. I said, take it home. He said, sir. I said, take it home. Ha! So bad. I heard bad. I don't even say, you know what? You will come for that meeting tomorrow. All right. You will come for that meeting tomorrow and the chairs will be arranged.
I told you to come for it and just give me $10.
That's so bad. I went to meet Tunde. Tunde was not laughing. Well, he said, "Shey, you are the one taking face."
No, Tunde said, "You said you have to use face. Can I not use face?"
I said, "No, Tunde. He would have. He should have told me. He couldn't have kept me.
I would have planned well. This was a nice meeting.
How I got that money to Tunde?
I can't even. I can't even explain that. But I knew that I have to go and pay for chair." I'm not sure we got the whole $5 that was in my mind. We got like $3, so I can't wait the whole month. It's not $3.
He came for me to know. He came. He came. I asked him if he bought data that week. He would have bought data. No, data was like $100,000 for Bidia. But at least, he didn't give $100, he didn't give for 1 dozen. Come on. He was have that mindset to meet.
It's not just it's that it's Christian, it is godly. If your heart is not on missing me, you know, some people can be that very, very hardened that they will just say, there is already a need. Anyhow, I know they will do it without me. It's a wrong mindset. How will you? It's a wrong mindset. It's not godly. It's not Christianly. It's not godly. It's not godly. At all.
You don't say it's godly. It can't be godly.
It can't be godly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It can't be godly. It can't be. How do you say that? $10. You look at that one of you laugh. Well, even me today, I can't even find $10. But then $10 was everywhere. You know? Orange ice cream was $10. You don't know what orange ice cream is? Zobo was $15.
Yeah.
So you have $100, you buy one Zobo, one donut. A round donut is cool. The one that Femi shared. I don't want to remember those people that had jam donuts and moths.
They had jam donuts and
deep thing. Oh, what is in there? No, it was a sticker. You know, you look as big as.
Sticker, what did you say?
You just think of sending you. And then pastor, you had jam donuts. Money I was there for coffee. You had jam donuts and more.
Yeah, all these people coming from. Yeah. Head church money. Need to buy jam donuts. Follow to head to.
Yes.
Is there any stuff? Yeah. You guys do not remember. There's some things that when I begin to unveil.
And so someone that came to tell me, say, Pastor, yesterday, because I know that this was one outfit you went for, that was my message. So I now, as a friend, I left it. So there was some money you had for church. So I'm gone. I can't remember why I went there. So the next came to my house, I teach you. Sorry, yes, the end jammed in my hand. Okay, how much is remaining? Those who have
money,
need to buy
jam.
And Sean,
I said, jam donuts! Jam donuts! You people have got money. Anymore! Anyway, jam donuts! I want my salary! You got my salary of September!
I said, God!
You are like,
I don't know.
Let me visit. Let me visit
them. Wisdom to the end.
Yes, and he had jumped over some boats. And this was the distributor.
Oh,
he was Abel. But the report is jumped over from the mother's place. Ah, so the mother has supplied jumped over. And they ate it, man.
Yeah. Glory to God. They are jumped over.
What about other people in Bayelsa doing real outreach? We were eating jam donuts.
Glory to God. So let's move further.
So we give to meet needs in the local church. Be that person that when there's a need in the local church and it is said out, you are the first to, I'm going to give. So it starts with, first of all, your commitment to church. Then you must be ready to give. Paul says, see that you are bound in this also. Amen. That means it's an instruction. We have an instruction to give to the local church. The local church will always have need, but the local church needs must be met by the members of the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And you're not giving because you want to receive money back. You're giving so that
God thanks to God. God is a service to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you say to yourself, the needs of my local church are met through me.
You can say that. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said.
In 1 Corinthians 16, quickly. I've not even gotten to where I want to get to in my notes. But no problem, we're almost rounding off 1 Corinthians 16. Are you 1 Corinthians 16? Okay, I read verse 1. Now concerning Colossians, for this thing, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the fourth day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Hallelujah. Remember, first of all, when we read 2 Corinthians, it says, as you propose in your heart. That means that I can plan for what to give. Amen? You plan to give in church. As you get paid in the office, you are dropping your giving. This means giving to church. Amen? As you are giving money for PSTV, money for NEPA, money for landlord, or Wokini, and I don't know what it says, this is for God.
Hallelujah. It is a Christian attitude.
Giving in the local church is a Christian attitude. It is godly. It is a righteous attitude. Amen? It's a Christian attitude to give in church. It's a Christian attitude to set up money. So what the fuck do you win? So you give as you live. So that is if your salary increase, your giving increase. You're giving 5,000 naira when you were still a copper. Now you are not working any longer than you give. Give me 5,000. Come on, step up. Even yesterday you called me, sir, step up. I said, no, I'm not stepping up. Step up! Hallelujah. Yesterday you called me, I said, step up, sir. I want to introduce step up. I said, I don't step up. I'm not stepping up. Look at where I am. But in your giving, you have to step up. When your salary steps up, you step up. When your bonus comes, there's salary in it. I mean, there's giving in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
You must learn to see that. Giving in the local church.
The need of the local church must be met. You can't give in the local church and we are having a need. No, you must give. So, you have to start. What is the need? If you tell us about it, no, you must always give. Because there is always a need.
Hallelujah. You must always give to the local church. Give to the local church. Give to your local church. Hallelujah.
Amen. Give to your local church. As you have more arms open in the local church, as you grow and have more arms, we might start having different arms of ministry to give towards. Hallelujah. Amen.
Don't start with that is. We are giving towards this moment. We're getting there.
Hallelujah. Amen. But as you grow and have more arms, you can be committed to a particular arm. You must learn to give to the local church. It's your service to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we give the local church.
We say we give also to brethren. We looked at that last week. Now,
another thing that you give in the local church is that you give to your pastor. You give to your pastor.
Never downplay it. No, you give to your pastor. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Look at what Paul said there. 9:14. He said, even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Sorry, please, let me rush quickly to Peter. Peter, you said the same thing. I didn't put it in my notes, but I could get that out on time. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are you there? Are you there? 9:14. He says, even the Lord has ordained they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Do you love? Hallelujah. Should live of the gospel. And we will have to draw something soon. Just put it in your Bible. 1 Timothy 5:18. Matthew 10:10. The same thing. Hallelujah. And it's writing from Jesus. He said, he that preaches the gospel should live of the gospel. Let's quickly watch from Matthew 10:10 quickly. That's what Jesus said. Oh yeah. Amen. It says, we're telling as he says it, the 12 out. He said, as out of verse 9, it's from verse 8, say, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye receive, freely ye give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. You see that? That's what he says. So that's what Paul, and that's what Paul is writing for. Amen. A workman is worthy of his meat. Hallelujah. So the pastor or the leader should also, let me put it like this, live off the gospel. I'm going to explain that shortly. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that means we also have an obligation to meet the needs of our pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though the pastor's needs should be met by the local church or by the members of the local church, the same way too, the Bible also teaches that the pastor shouldn't place a charge on them. We're going to get there. Look at 1 Timothy 5:18. 1 Timothy 5:18. It says, for the scripture says, reading from Matthew 10:10, it says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The laborer is worthy of his reward. That is what that pastor is talking about. That is what that Deuteronomy scripture is talking about. You shall not muzzle the ox that threshes out the corn. That is Deuteronomy 25. He said, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. So he's talking about giving to leaders, giving to pastors. Hallelujah. He calls it double honor. Double honor. Hallelujah. So we have that responsibility to give to our pastors. They say, but my pastor is working at any more than me. He doesn't stop you from giving to your pastor. My pastor is, so rich, I'm enriching him the more. No, it's an instruction you have from scripture. Hallelujah. Did they give to Paul? Yes. We read that, right? We read that last week, right? They gave to Paul. Did you remember that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians. Get to Philippians. We had that last week. We give to our pastors. Because of time, I guess I will just have to be fast on that. Okay. Look at verse chapter 4.
verse 15 now say, yes, Philippians, know also that in beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Look at what he says in verse 18, that you can link also to 2 Corinthians. He says, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Did you see that? So they gave him gift. Amen. They sent to pastor. They appreciated their pastor. Amen. Amen. They communicated him from what they had. Was Paul an Ivy pastor? No. Paul was working also. Did you see that? Paul was working also. Glory to God. Very vital. Yet in as much as you give to your pastor, Bible also places a caveat that the pastor must not place a charge on the member. Okay, must not place a charge. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. I'd like to close. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. We'll still take all this off again in the believer's faith and material wealth. Should a believer get wealth? So some people are asking that question. Is good or is better for a rich man, a poor man to get to heaven than a rich man? Sometimes some people say that. But we're going to handle all that from scripture. Hallelujah. I said 1 Thessalonians 2, right? Look at verse 8. It says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dead unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Did you see that? Not to place a charge. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. Very more direct. 2 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 17. That's 2 Corinthians 2:17. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2:17. He said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but out of sincerity, but of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So when you use the word, we're not as many that corrupt the word of God. The word corrupt there is the word kapelio. Kapelio. It means to peddle. But a lot of them that peddle is from another word. It's from another word. Which is it now? Kapelos. We are not of them that peddle. That word kapelos is used for hucksters. Those who retain to adulterous people, those who adulterate something, to change something, to place a charge. So we are not as them that place a charge on God's word. Amen. Amen. So the pastor, you're supposed to give to your pastor, listen, and at the same time, the pastor is not supposed to place a charge on you. In the preaching of the gospel, the pastor also is not supposed to even tell you, hey, you have to to you. No, all that compulsion. Hallelujah. Amen. So, time will not permit me to get to Peter, but I'll find time to do that in our study. Amen. In our teaching class. Amen. Amen. You don't peddle the church. But at the same time, too, the church must give to their pastor. Galatians 6:6. Look what it says. It says, for let him that has taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So that means we have an instruction to give. He said, let him that has taught the word communicate. That word communicate there is a word for koinonia, to share. What Paul is saying is that you can share your income with your pastor. With your pastor. you can share your income with your pastor. That is to say, you get saved. As you remove money for everything, you remove money for giving in church, you can also set aside money to give your pastor, to give your leader.
Amen.
To give your cell leader, to give your pastor, to give your zonal pastor. You can set aside money from your salary. You can also say, no, sir, but my pastor is richer than me. Yes.
But it's an instruction. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, sir, we always do that once in a year to celebrate our pastor. Good. It's good to have the pastor's appreciation Sunday. But you can also go, you can do beyond that. Hallelujah. Amen. You can go beyond that. You can go beyond that. You can meet the need of your pastor. Very vital. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So we have instructions in scripture like that. We have instructions in scriptures like that.
To give. One, to give to the local church. Meet the local church. Two, give to brothers in the local church through the pastor. Right? Right? Hallelujah. I want to play something
through the pastor. So that's it.
Brethren, don't allow anybody to give you anything that your pastor is not aware of. Be careful. Say, no, nobody can buy me. Hey, money and salary. I mean, no money and salary for nothing. You'll be bought. Your conscience will be bought. Amen. Even me as a pastor, someone is giving me all the time, I'll call you. Because your conscience can be bought. It's money we are giving. Amen. So tell the person, give it to pastor. Amen. Amen. You know that?
Somebody is blender.
Somebody is coming to ask you for money. You know, as much as it's good to give to meet the person's need, you know, it depends on the kind of need. But if it's a person who needs that, it's not that you are need to pay. I want money to not run. Hallelujah. You can talk to pastor and pastor will call someone else. There's a need in church. Pastor will not tell you, come and give me a call now. And talk to him. There's a need in church. Hallelujah. You understand? The pastor doesn't tell you to know who person is he or she is. It's a church that has made it. Since I don't even know not be recognized, that is a problem. Are you doing it to be recognized? No! That is selfishness. That is human. A human, see, when a human man walks, he wants to give so that he will be recognized. But that is not of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say the church at Macedonia again. The church at Philippi met Paul's need. And at the same time too, but not be everybody in church that gave. Right? But the commendation is to everybody in church. That is what it is.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's what it is. And the wisdom gave. No. The church gave. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen.
Vice Chancellor Deborah gave. No. The church gave. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. So let the... I said this a whole lot to people. When you want your name out, to be singled out, that is pride. That is foolishness. That is an uncultured man. You are cultured with God's word. Hallelujah. And lastly, we said in the local church, we deal to meet the needs of our pastor. We communicate with our pastor all good things. Let the elders which is taught well. Let the elders if I bite my tongue. Let the elder which rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So you can communicate with your pastor what you earn. For the essence of all what I taught you in this series is to see that the giving in the local church is of God, right? It's of God, and giving the local church is a service to God. That's what I wanted you to see. It's a service to God. So one of the ways we render or we serve God in the local church is giving in the local church. Amen. As you give to meet the needs in the local church, you are giving unto the Lord. No, don't mind what some people will say, some folks will say. So you say, ah, when you gave me judgment, God come down and carry it. No. Don't be dumb. Hallelujah. And yet, they will go and visit the native doctor and give money inside Calabas. Who is more dumb? Amen. You don't come and carry it. God came to carry it. How? He carried it when he did something. That was God carrying it. You don't know. Amen. Amen. We just read that when the Levite blessed, God blessed. When they said nothing, that is God's cause. You have to see it in that light. So God meet our needs through us. Hallelujah. Meet the need of brethren through brethren. Meet the need of the local church through brethren. That means, as your pastor gives direction to how you're going to give, for what you're going to give, sometimes it can be told, this is the amount you're going to give. Don't say, ah, pastor doesn't know. The same way pastor will give is direction by God's Spirit. Right? Right? Direction by God's Spirit. Oh, this is God leading us to do this. Right? So when pastor says you are giving for this, this is amount you are giving, that is God's leading. If you say, you are, I'm always open to God's leading, but I cannot give. No. No. Hallelujah. When there's a direction, it needs to be met in the church. And the pastor is telling, this is what we're going to do. This is the amount we're going to give. That is God's direction. That is God's leading. So we're going to flow in that direction. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Learn something? Let's be on our feet and thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord.